Welcome to the IRIS podcast. You are listening to a talk as part of the Data Linkage and Mining Vision, Possibilities and Practicalities Conference organised by the Scottish Universities Insight Institute. This talk was recorded on the 10th of March 2011. Ricky Ibersholt, Institute for Research and Innovation in Social Services, Visualising Data.
At IRIS, I run a project which is focusing on trying to turn all the social services data that we find and that is available into, not all of it, but we're trying different sets, into visualizations in order to, you know, attract new audiences and communicate better. So today I'm going to tell you why we're doing it, what the benefits we see are, and hopefully they'll be very self-evident, and give you some case studies. We have done some visualizations of data relating to children, so I'll show you that and sort of maybe speak mostly about that. But we've also done other things that are quite interesting that can sort of overlay, so I'll show you a few case studies, and then I will also show you a little bit about this new tool that we have developed, which is launching next week. It's going to be this online tool that's available to everybody, and it's free, and you can visualize your data. So first of all, I'm going to tell you a story from America. It's not our visualization, so something that was brought to my attention by Nina Vaswani from Glasgow City Council, who I've been working with quite closely recently. Essentially, our first sort of course of action was trying to look at data without looking at the numbers. I think sometimes we've become a little bit number blind. We're used to reports that are just full of tables and percentages, and you know, you see the same sort of patterns of layout, etc., all the time. So you become a little bit immune to actually what the numbers are telling you. So in Florida, there was a young girl who started running away from the age of just before 15. And what they've done here is essentially removed all the data. This would be which would have been presented in her case study with, you know, she ran away for 120 days, etc. But what they've done is do an indicator of, you know, what the types of settings. This essentially is what she did, where she spent every night for almost 1,800 days of her teenage years, and so every. I was just saying the long lines, essentially, when she sort of jumped from somewhere to somewhere else, so that long line is the first day of a new setting. What we're going to be working on in the next year, and what we think this is quite powerful is something like cause investigation. Overlaying something like this, or taking something like this, makes it very clear to people what the pattern of her settings have been, but you can overlay that with something like her case history, etc., the interviews that she's been involved in, and actually gain a lot more insight into what her story is. Like Fiona said yesterday, using that sort of joining different or multi-agency data in order to gain more insight. But this, for example, good to look at for cause investigation. You'll see quite typically in her first three circles that every time she runs away and sleeps on the street, she comes from the foster home. So why does that happen? You know, you can go back and look in her case study and find out for that. Again, there's a BASP was the group that went in and sort of did a big intervention that eventually got her out of that quite sad pattern of not having a set dwelling place. So what were the causes of all this hoo-ha here? Why did they get involved? Similarly, intervention analysis, she has some episodes of quite a lot of stability, but she's actually stayed in a foster home or in a group shelter. Looking at that, tying that into things like, you know, cost analysis, what kind of networks she had set up for her in those times, whether she received any formal education, etc. So things like that. Visualizations are not meant to give you all the information in a oneer, but it's meant to give you an overview that's going to draw you into the data, to give you a new way of asking questions, a new way of just looking at something. It's something that we find translates really well between departments, something that translates really well to people that are not usually so data literate. I know you guys all are really smart in this area, but we find in, you know, going out to work with people in social services that, you know, they receive reports, but it's not necessarily something that you create yourself all the time. So a little bit of a trigger is good. Following on from this, something closer to home, not children's data, but very importantly, looking at data without looking at the numbers. This was a fun one. I worked with Corin Barclay at Fife Council. This is based on the deprivation numbers that come out every year. You know, all the data areas in Scotland are marked by deprivation. So this is the guidelines from government with the different weightings, etc., and why things are recorded. This is what the data set looks like. I've taken version 2 because, interestingly, this may be very self-explanatory to people that usually work with it, but mistakes, you know, do happen. This has been edited, so this is the second version of the data. And this is where the inspiration came from. It's a barcode chart. There's 6,505 data zones in Scotland. So if you think of this end here being 0 and this being 6,505, the lines are obviously slightly chunkier than indicating 1 out of 6,505, because otherwise you couldn't see them. But this is where the inspiration came from. This is the local authorities set out against each other. And what I've indicated here is something that we all know. Edinburgh doesn't have much of a density in the most deprived, but or at least they don't have so many in the... I'm holding too many things, I think. They have a lot of people that are a lot of zones in the least deprived area and not so many in other. And obviously Glasgow is the opposite. So that just sort of shows you things like that. But as you can see, Fife, pretty sort of representative overall. And what we did then is isolate Fife's data only and look at the 7 areas within Fife to see where the 20% most deprived areas are. And, you know, where they are. So the grey zone is the 20% most deprived in Fife. It was just a little exercise. It was quite popular with Corin and her guys in the data team. And again, it's not really there to give you the answers. It's there for you to ask further questions. Okay. Back to issues around children. As I said, I worked with Glasgow City Council over the last year. This is quite a good case study, because what they do every year is a report that goes out to the public, goes out to the media, and it's often very scrutinised quite hardly by the media because there is so much youth crime in Glasgow. And this is what it typically looks like. So this is the types of crime. And you can actually see that, you know, there have been last year, or the year before, the newest one was 2008-09. So, you know, there has been, you know, a huge decline, but it still goes, well, Glasgow's a terrible city to live in. So we worked together with Glasgow City Council and trying to make it more obvious that there is actually a really positive change happening. And we're using exactly the same data, but we did something like this. Percentage change year on year. There was a change in crimes of indecency, but a very small number. So 23%, I think, was only another 4 people doing something indecent on the streets of Glasgow. So not so bad. But this makes it really, really visible. Again, without throwing, you know, 8,300 big numbers at people, this section is just a very good indicator that it's going down and it's a positive thing. We tried a different approach with regards to the types of crime and offences that happened in Glasgow as well. This is what they would have put out normally. And this is what we did. This is called a tree map. I don't know if you're familiar with it. Essentially, it's labelled But the blocks are representative. So as you see it, the density or the size of the blocks are, you know, represented within the whole grid as of the percentage of the type of offence and crime. So what we got back from Nina and Amanda just says they were delighted with this. It shows very clearly that what a small proportion of the offences are actually serious offences. So again, a good story for Glasgow. It's although there's crime and there are offences, it's mostly petty assault. It's not, you know, murder. It's not all Taggart. They also every year produce just a summary page on the first page of their report, where they've actually sort of tried to do what we've been trying to do, using colours, using blocks to indicate an interesting story. Now, we turned that on its head and said, this is what the media needs to know. So we let the size of the numbers talk to themselves. So this is actually in the summary, with it the numbers speak. But when you went into the deep depth of the report, we let the sort of colours and visual representations speak. And it had a really, really good effect. You know, I've just taken two articles here, one from the BBC and one from the Evening Times, and they like very kindly quote exactly what we want them to say, you know, threats fell by 22%, etc. It's a good story for Glasgow, and they're very, very delighted with the collaboration. Now, remember the tree map? I did, just for fun, do a little test with the new tool that we're developing. It threw up a few hiccups that the guys are working on back at the office right now. Referral grounds, 2009-10, in the Children's Reporter. This is what's in the report. So these are the grounds of referrals and the total amount of children referred. I should indicate that all of this adds up to just over 52%, so about 20% of the kids that are referred are serial referrers or over within a year. And there they are. They're not, I mean, the colour's not so great yet. We're tweaking that. But this is just a tree map visual representation of the grounds for referral. Okay, I wanted to show you, because this is quite important when you look at the types of, or the impact of data visualisation. There's something that's quite important to remember, and that's we don't always have the same audiences, and the more data gets online and the more the world gets online, the more our output is likely to fall into the hands of people they're not meant for, or people that are curious, just members of the public that are not used to seeing, you know, public service reports, etc. So it's really important to make sure that you're catering for, first of all, your intended audience, but perhaps also making it very obvious to people who other people that it could fall into the hands of. So we worked with the Scottish Consortium for Learning Disabilities and in visualising their data from the ESAE set. Are you aware of the ESAE data? It's gathered every year. And we tested quite widely internally in their organisation with people that use their data usually, so local authorities as well, and also people in their sort of core user groups. So we had people with learning disabilities coming in and looking at it and see whether it actually made any sense. It's quite an interesting thing to do. This is the one that had most impact across the board. This is called a heat map. I've pulled a screenshot from the interactive online thing, so that this black indicator here is actually just a rollover indicator, so it will tell you what the data that lies behind it. A heat map is there's no legend of this or no key, but we'll have that on the tool. The intensity and depth of colour indicates the number, so the higher the number or the higher the percentage, whichever you're working from, it's just taken from a general spreadsheet. The higher, the deeper the colour. So yellow is not so representative, and the darker sort of red is where the high numbers lie. That translated really well with all user groups. Obviously, again, for people that need the information behind the data, it's just a trigger to actually get an overview. This is the one that didn't work so well. This is called a nested bubble chart. I know exactly why it didn't work so well, but I'll go into that. This is the autism spectrum disorder by the type of carer that people have. Everybody is asked in the annual survey who is their primary carer, and it could be a family member, it could be somebody they've paid for. Quite a lot of the time it's a parent, even for people who are, you know, older. So quite a lot of older parent carers. And it's divided up between female and male. Females and males. And you can see that they vary, but they're not really saying much. And even with the numbers below, it's not really drawing you in. We think there are too many variables. We think there's too much here. This up to a maximum of 5 would probably work. And also, again, it would probably, if we only had Asperger's, then it would be much more straightforward to look at. There's just simply too much going on. This is still going to be available on tool, but the guidelines will also say don't use it for too much data. I want to show you this because this is what everybody's used to seeing. This is a 2009 graph of adults with learning disabilities that are in employment in Scotland, spread over the different local authorities. This is what normally goes at. We did this. Again, it's just meant to be an invitation to look at the numbers more. These are called stacked bubbles. So you have to think of them as a stack of coins that you look at from above. So these are also weighted because there are actually fewer people a lower percentage in Fife of people with learning disabilities than there are in Glasgow. So the sort of intensity or the proportion of the local populations taken into consideration. This North Lanarkshire is not on here. I'd say you don't really look at this and think this is going to have a big impact on how data is gathered, but actually this very graph has had. North Lanarkshire is further down, unfortunately, but they were pretty much just pale blue. And you know, it was not indicated, or people weren't in work, or So the wider group thought that North Lanarkshire didn't actually gather that. It's just they didn't really consider in employment to be the same thing. So there was an issue with the guidelines as to how to gather the data. In North Lanarkshire, you're not in employment unless it's paid employment and it's pretty much full time. So that just is not counted. And that's their goal. That's their goal for personalisation. Whereas in other local authorities, if you're working, you know, a couple of afternoons doing voluntary work, that's employment because you're integrated into society and you're playing a part. So they looked at it completely differently. So this is actually, although it's pretty and perfectly statistically representable, it doesn't actually represent the world as it is. So this is something that the core group has been discussing quite a lot, and guidelines are being looked at. Okay, I'm sure that all these colours are confusing a little bit, so I'll go into telling you a little bit about what we're going to have in the visualisation toolkit. It's something that we have developed with and for social services. So all the sort of graphic representations are something that we know people can use with the audiences they have and with the messages that they're trying to convey. We're going to have isotypes. This is just a little prototype. It's going to be a lot more varied than this. But I don't know how many of you are Guardian readers, but you'll be used to this. Or perhaps if you're aware of them, the Miniature Glasgow. There's this man who's made a website where, you know, if Glasgow was 100 people, how many of them would be smokers? And then you'd have all these little men next to each other. Things like that. The public understands this. If 70% of you is dipped in blue and it says credit card debt, you know, they know that 70% of people have credit card debt. Things like that. It's something that translates very, very easily because you know the shape's you. And so we're going to have this. You know, you can dip people as much as you want. You can dip people, you know, different age groups it was really good for, you know, segment people into age groups and go like, oh, up to four, there's so many and so many and so many. Works well with that. But we're also going to have the sort of miniature things, so you can go in and say out of 100, how many are coloured to, you know, are not coloured, but how many are, you know, has, you know, answering some question. Do any sort of proportion, so 6 out of 17, it's grid-based, and it's entirely up to you what you wish to fill it with. We're also going to have word clouds. I don't know if you're aware of these. These are a new way of summarising documents. Again, it's not giving you a summary. It's giving you, you know, the size of the sort of main nouns predominantly, or the main words. The size and the location, the closer to the centre, the more they're mentioned. So these, again, are not... You can use it for keywords if you want to, you know, tell a story or something. No, you can just use it as a pretty indicator, a pretty front page for something. But it's just a new way of looking at a document. We're going to have heat maps, as I said. This is not one I've pulled from the tool that we have yet. This is actually an American baseball player, so I'll go on from this. The bubble charts, again, we're going to have also the nested ones. And what we have enhanced is that you'll be able to label all of this so that we'll have the numbers, percentages, values attributed as well. And they can be set up whichever way you wish. We're going to have the tree map, as I talked about earlier. And I'll just show you a few screen grabs. I know we're hungry. This is going to be the general homepage, so there's going to be featured visualizations. People, all you need to do is sign up. You get a login and a password, and it's all free to use. So, you can browse other people's visualizations if they've made them public. There's an option to keep everything private. Something that we've been up against a lot, because there are tools out there, but they're not for public data. So a lot of some, like IBM, let you upload spreadsheets. We can't really do that within Scottish social services. It would be, there's just too much fear around the whole sort of, am I actually giving away data about a person? Can anybody be identified through this? So we're only really doing smaller sets. You need to have a story you want to tell. You maybe have put it through Excel, put it through SPSS. You know that I want to tell the story, but I want to tell it with more impact than just a little bar graph from Excel. That's the time when you take it to our tool. There's obviously, you have your own little data bank, so anything you've uploaded will be there for you, and it's as secure as your password, so it's actually better than just running around with the data on a memory stick and losing it on the train, which is what you're supposed to do. So have that. It's very simple. We don't really ask for much information, but the more you give, the better. There always has to be a title. We invite descriptions because it will help you remember what you did in the past. Credits if the data is from somewhere that isn't you. And then the licensing options and how visible you want both the data and the visualizations to be. This is all going to be much more. So visualization types, once you've loaded up your data, you can decide which kinds there are. This is just the latest one. There's only four so far, but there will be more. And again, as I said, you know, this is the one that we use for the nested bubble chart, so you can decide where you want the centering of your thing, whether you want the key to show or not, labels, etc. So it's pretty flexible. Color options, whether you want it on a white background. White is default, but any color background, and the palettes are going to be a little bit more interesting than those. And that's it. It's called Look at Iris. And I have, if you need a bookmark or a postcard to send someone, there's the website here. And I really urge you to try it out with data. And if you want to talk more, give me a call or an email. I would be very delighted.
Thank you very much.
And yes, did we give you a round? This recording is copyright of Iris 2011. It may be reused under the terms of the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 2.5 UK Scotland license. Go to www.iris.org.uk for more information.